what's happening here that's not happening anyplace else?
I mean, the competitive level starts at 4 years old.
Classic rivalry.
Hall of Fame type coaches, great personalities.
All three schools, though, they changed the game of college football.
Florida State Seminole.
Miami Hurricanes.
Florida Gators.
You want to dominate your opponents and you want to get stoned? Make sure that you roll up. Roll up, roll up.
It's the roll up. It's the vibes. Another beautiful day in the Sunshine State, man. Kicking it with my guy, CJ. And we have a substitute liar today with Maul from the 26 Degrees. He's a producer over there. Maul, what it do, my guy? You good?
Yeah, it's good over here, man. I'm excited to be on today. Get to let my voice be heard a little bit and, you know, keep spreading that gospel around here, that 26 Degree gospel.
That's what's up, man. Appreciate you, man. You've been a long fan of the Roll Up podcast. We brought you on it with the 26 Degrees. It's been a good short ride so far, but you vibing out with us.
Oh, for sure, man. Like, it's been a long way, so I'm glad to be on the show. Like, that's a big deal for me.
For sure. CJ, you back, man. You school fresh. First day of school fresh again with another blue polo button all the way up to the top, dog. What's up with you? You good?
Yeah, dog, it's been a crazy day so far, man. So, just got down to Orlando, man, down here for work until like Friday. So, right. Shoot, just got down here, was rushing to get to the damn hotel. I get to the hotel, and the Wi-Fi was tripping. You know how when you get to the hotel, they ask, you click on the Wi-Fi. And once you click on the Wi-Fi, you got to put in, like, your room number and all that type of deal.
Right.
Man, for whatever reason, man, the computer won't let me do it, man. So, we're rocking with it on the phone. We're going to thug it out, man. But, yeah. Good vibes, though, man. The road wasn't actually that bad once I got on I-4, though. You know how that shit get on I-4.
Yeah, it could get hectic. That's what's up, man. I'm be in town Thursday, so we'll see if we can link up and do something. But I'll be there Thursday, and I got to come right back Saturday, man. But it's the roll up, man. We back. I last weekend went by, and we recorded Sunday, and I was just so out of touch with the internet, the world. I'm finding out a lot of things with this Monday and this Tuesday, but I woke up Monday morning and I seen the travesty and the shooting that happened in Buffalo, man. It was just like, that was a heartbreaker, bro. Just to see that type of stuff, man. I can never get numb to that type of stuff. But as I'm dropping out a show Monday morning, I'm also seeing that. And I was just like, I hit the group chat. I'm like, damn, man, I didn't even know that went down like that. And we didn't address it on last show at all. So I was like, yo, let's address this in the intro. Condolences, man. Just a very sad situation. The hate in this country is real. You know, I think everybody should protect themselves, man, wherever you're going. But for somebody to walk into a grocery store that they don't shop at, they're not their side of town, with a purpose just to kill, steal, and destroy.
Man, buddy didn't even live in Buffalo, man. He drove a couple hours to Buffalo. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, they said damn, you know that. He drove 3 hours?
That's he what drove they 3 hours to Buffalo, man. Then another crazy part, this shit was calculated as hell. So if you know, the mental health shit and all that, you know, they're going to try to spin it like that. But everything was calculated with all his moves. Saw someone tweeted that the area code that the grocery store was in is one of the most heavily populated black areas within northern New York. So he talked to that grocery store knowing that, hey, that portion of Buffalo, New York is one of the most heavily populated black, one of the most heavily populated black areas within upstate New York, man. So it's crazy. And saw clips of the video, man, in the video, man, it looked like a video game, to be honest with you, man. It was just really crazy.
I think that's how I missed it. Because even when I saw the video myself, and I can't watch full videos and shit like that. But when it first started, I'm scrolling the timeline, I see it. I'm just like, bro, that look like some shit my son played. It didn't even look like no real life shit.
You seen what he wrote on his gun too?
Yeah, what did he write on the gun, though, Taylor? Shout out, we got Taylor hanging out, bro. I ain't get Taylor out of the show. Taylor, you supposed to be out of the show, bro. My bad.
Hey,
my bad, funny. Bro. You got Taylor. He's gonna be helping us out with some stuff, man. Why y'all ain't saying nothing, man? We'll keep it in the show anyway. It's funny.
Nah, we vibing. But to Taylor's point though, man, he wrote he had niggers on the spelled out on the gun.
Man, like reparations. Like, I'm gonna give y'all something like give you reparations, stuff like that. The part that bothered me the most was with all elderly people he took out, he ain't going to the hood and find some peers. Go after who might have been able to clap.
I told you, she was calculated. She was a pussy move, man. She was soft. It was dog. And Man, and then well, I'm pissed off that he's in handcuffs, man. When you have situations like that, kill this motherfucker on sight. Like it ain't no taking him in, no questioning. I don't want to hear shit you gotta say.
Man, you know what it is. They're not gonna kill him on sight, man. You know what it is, man. Bro, that's what it is. When they kill us, it's just not the same. It's never been the same. When they commit certain crimes, it's just not the same treatment. What's hurtful to me is, bro, like the same weekend, right? Like all this is going down, then you start finding out, like I'm piecing together the whole weekend. You start finding out that, you know, Benny the Butcher and all these guys are fighting and doing all this type of shit after this type of stuff. My biggest thing be, bro, like, cause you can't change the amount of people that hate you, bro. Like the people that hate us and got it out for us, the system, whatever it may be, you know, systematic bullshit, whatever it may be. You're not gonna change the mind of that. But us, from our perspective, bro, like we gotta be more self-love, man. We gotta care about each other. Elderly people just got murdered in the grocery store, man. And I was just speaking to guys in Buffalo that are in the trenches just working, man. People went out to clubs that night and did regular shit. So I just think we gotta just like focus on us, man, and arm yourself.
Black people want to get back is against each other.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like we get angry at each other about who more gangsta on the album and want to shoot up our neighborhoods, but somebody just killed old black people in the grocery store, man. And that's when I lose respect for like even the gangster culture and everything else, man. Because what are y'all really riding for, man? Like it's about just killing each other. But we just gotta have more self pride and just arm yourself, bro. When you're out here, man, you can legally arm yourself and protect yourself. There's never 100%, because some people did have guns in that grocery store. And they got shot as well, but just do your best to arm yourself and to go out with some type of, you know, chance. Because when you're in that situation, bro, you're just a lame duck, you know, trying to buy groceries for your family and vibe. So condolences to the family. I do want to say everybody's name. So I don't want to just say condolences to the family because actual people died. Somebody's family was murdered and killed, man. And I want to say the age of these people. So victims in the Buffalo supermarket shooting was Celestine Cheney, 65 years old. Roberta A. Drury, 32 years old. Andre McNeil, 53 years old. Catherine Massey, 72 years old. Morrison, 52 years old. Hayward Patterson, 67. Aaron Salter Jr., 55. Jared Dean Talley, 62. Ruth Whitfield, 86. Pearl Young, 77. Like, them people lived their whole life. They didn't deserve to get gunned down and die in violence and turmoil like that. Just sick situation, man. Prayers and condolences to the family. Roll up, man. Let's keep it moving. We're gonna do what we can. I'm talking to some brothers in Buffalo. We're gonna give back and help out what we can in that situation. Just keep our ears glued to the streets, man. All right, before we get into the big three talk, we'll do some big three talk while we wait on my man Leon. Or before we get into that, man, the roll up is brought to you by the great folks at the Graham Co. Grahamco.com. Be sure to visit and use coupon code ROLLUP25 for 25% off of gummies. It's federally legal. THC gummies into your mailbox. You got flavors of blue raspberry, watermelon, and fruit punch, pre-rolls, and also wake and bake coffee. All of it's gas, man. If you need that THC for the wake up, or if you need it for you just pain relief, whatever you need, they got CBD oil, pills, capsules. TheGrahamCo.com, coupon code ROLLUP25 for 25% off. Edible straight to your mailbox. Big three talk. What y'all boys got? Any info?
Yeah, I got a little something. In terms of Miami with the quarterbacks, pretty much I think we're going through the plan B options. I'm not saying Rashad is off the board, but you know, he seemed like he's got a lot going on. Right. And other quarterback they've been looking at lately is a guy by the name of Avery Johnson. From Kansas. He's a four-star guy.
Elite 11 guy, ain't he? I think he has a
crystal ball to Kansas State, but I think we checking the thread on him. I don't think he's done by a long shot. So we checking on him. And Rashad actually dropped the top seven as well, I'm pretty sure. And you guys are in it. I know you saw that. So
yeah, we went from not being in his top 10 to making his top 7.
And who has a top 7? That's why I'm just like, his recruitment's a little weird. So for me,
it's about that bag.
Yeah, that's all it's about. And I think with Miami, I mean, our quarterback room is pretty decent. So I feel like, well, Morton Deeb is very good, but I feel like that's not the biggest priority. If the price get too high, I just think we'll make some other moves there. And in terms of other thing I'm hearing is things are looking better with Nathaniel Joseph, wide receiver. I'm hearing some, you know, some good things there. Anytime a Clemson commit is, you're seeing smoke from a Clemson commit, you got to feel good about that. So I ain't saying nothing is sealed, but I know we knocking on the door. So we're going to see what happens there.
Right. Okay. Did you guys seal up a deal for official visit for Malik yet? I know we got June 10th. If you guys got any update?
I believe we do have one. I don't have the date in front of me.
Try tomorrow, man. Marl on daddy duty and roll up duty, man.
My bad, y'all.
No, we use the kids around here to roll up, man. Usually it's CJ, yeah, but CJ on vacay this week.
Right. Marl took up my slack. Some Brew information, though, man. FSU and Brew decided not to. FSU decided not to kick the tires on Brew. They had conversations and talks leading up to this week, and you know, doing background checks and just dotting your I's, crossing your T's. Mike decided to not go that route. It felt like it wasn't the best fit for both parties. So
they found decided. Out you watched, huh?
Right. Yeah. Realized that shit. That Nick O'Leary shit only going so far.
Right, that shit washed, man.
Yeah, some right. Recycle is just not worth it.
Yeah, no, right. It's not. But as far as off the field, I didn't mind off the field. But, I mean, I'm definitely not tripping for them moving on. It's like, it is what it is. We know Brew days are pretty much past in regards to, you know, prime Brew. So that's cool in regards to them not kicking the tires. It was just interesting. And it was, a name of interest. Chris Parsons, quarterback Chris Parsons, over the weekend, competed in the Nashville Elite 11 competition. He tied for first within the Nashville Elite 11 competition. So we'll see how that goes forward. I'm pretty sure after that he'll get invited to, I guess it's a regional, then the actual big Elite 11. So we'll see how far he goes. But he did tie for first within the Nashville region for their Elite 11.
Okay. Ease just hit up in the group chat and said Malik Bryan is June 27th for Miami. His decision date is July 23rd still. I think LeBlanc changed his. He backed off of his July 23rd commitment date, which I don't think is a good sign for us. I don't think it's a bad sign, but if he was decided July 23rd, I liked us. He's been on our campus a million times the last couple of months, just a frequent guy. So for him to push that back, I think I don't say it's not good news for us. That's my take. I don't know if it's bad news. I still like where we're at in his recruitment. He's one of the guys that's not as loud as the other Orlando guys. I think all of them are kind of getting tired of the process. Just Malik's going to end his as of now. I don't think he's going to change. Right now, I'm going to be real with you. If I think Malik's aside today, I truly think it's Bama.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at it either, but you guys do have your head at the table, so we'll see how the official visits go. But once you get a kid on campus, man, all that stuff can change. And you know, Malik, he's right here in the the I-4 corridor that we was talking about. So getting him on campus and being, you know, an hour some change on the road from home, you never know.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it's important. All the visits got to go down. And we'll see how as it unfolds. But right now, I like to keep it mine up to the moment of how I feel on it. I don't think we're in a bad space. It's just Bama, bro. And I'm still judging these coaches by what they do on the I-4, man. If these coaches ain't going to really snatch nothing and keep the homegrown talent right here and the elite kids, then I'm just not going to be lying and hyping up nonsense, bro. So right now, Malik, 6'10", that's the official visit. You know, let's make it a party. You got to go to Miami as well. I'm pretty sure we all going to have our best efforts at both of those visits. We'll see what happens. Jontae Cook is a receiver that we're getting a visit from June 3rd, number 7 wide receiver in the country out of Texas. I thought it was very interesting. Some of these guys, I just coming out of the blue with some of these visits. I didn't know we was even in his recruitment that much to get an official visit during the summer. Interesting one to follow. And we'll see what happens on the official visit. Our wide receiver coach, Colbert, everybody got their eyes on him. He don't have the biggest reputation as far as a recruiter on the West Coast when he was at USC with Helton. So everybody got their eye on him to see what he's doing. The state's loaded with wide receiver. We took a project, a lower-ranked three-star type kid, two of them so far. I think Whitmore. What am I forgetting his name?
It is Whitmore, last name, right?
Whitmore. Is it Whitmore? I'm tripping.
Yeah, you got a brother, right? That's on campus.
Yeah, man. Kush beat my ass, man. So Whitmore, I do like that tape, but the first wide receiver we took wasn't up to, I think he's like UCF material, just keeping it a buck. So all eyes on Colbert as a wide receiver coach in the recruitment. I think this is a good visit, but he got to land kids.
If I'm not mistaken, I think going back to his brother recruitment, it was the same situation. I think I don't want to speak ill, but wasn't, you know, parents a big time booster or something like that? So they kind of had ends to it like that.
Yeah, yeah. If that's what it was, that's what they said on paper. And then Whitmore got on campus. He was 360 dunking and was pretty good. He's just been fighting the injury bug a little bit, but he definitely holds his own and deserved a scholarship offer out of everybody else in that receiver room. They were ranked higher than him. He's better than a lot of guys in that room. So they have the pedigree. Those guys are athletes, man. His little brother runs a 10-800 meter. Kid's flying. So they have the athleticism and, you know, pedigree. It's all about what's in the state. And the state's loaded with just elite wide receivers. And you got the number 7 wide receiver in the country coming from Texas. That's another guy that's on your board. So you got to compare like these guys to the board, and they can still go to land. You got to have a foundation in the bottom of a class as well. And we're not Bama, so the bottom of our wide receiver board is not going to be 4 or 5-star kids. The bottom of our O-line board is probably not going to be 4 and 5-star kids. I think our fans of all three of these programs need to recognize that when you see 3-star commits, not lose your shit, because the bottom of these classes of all of our programs is going to be 3-star kids. The bottom of Bama's class or Georgia's class might be a 4-star offensive lineman, but that's not where we're at. And that's not being realistic.
And to be honest with you, it's better to recruit that way. You're better off finding your 3 stars right in the front end versus you trying to circle back on them late. And by then, you done lost. So I think it's nice to get the bottom filled. And then you have you get some wins, and then you can, you know, close the deal, you know, in December. That's pretty much how I think the entire state's got to recruit, because no school in the state's got the wins or the relationships right now to just get kids to commit right now. They're going to want to see something.
No doubt.
Speaking of visits, we got a defensive end, Keldrick Falk out of Alabama, ranked the number 111 player in the country, 4-star kid, supposed to official visit FSU the weekend of June 24th. So look out for that. Samuel Singleton, 4-star running back out of Fleming Island. Coach Yak went to go see him this week. 4-star kid, ranked number 139 in the country. He was talking about a possibly official visiting in June. A couple of visits for the official visit market. So we all know, man, like summer, you got those 2 signing periods, right? So so summer is starting. Well, I'm sorry, not 2 signing periods. Well, it is 2 signing periods, one in December and one in February, but the majority of these kids like to take these summer official visits and then lock down, you know, their decision, just focus on the season for the upcoming season, and then getting on campus early with the early enrollment.
Right. I want to see the difference in because usually the early signing day was the big day. So I do want to see the difference in this year with all the changes in NIL, the way college coaches change jobs every winter. So I want to see the difference in how many kids sign on early signing day and regular signing day this year. I think the regular spring date or the February date is going to be the bigger date, is my take. I think kids are going to fall back from that, the December stuff.
I would co-sign that, but I think at the end of the day, you're going to want to wait out for the best deal if you can.
Right.
And if you don't have to wait, you wait till December, and you don't want to get caught committing, and then you signed and the coaching carousel affects your team.
Correct. Positional coaches and all of that, not just head coaches, but you can sign in December, and then your offensive coordinator get poached, and then you just kind of there lame duck and already committed. February, you damn near could commit and not sign a letter of intent, just to enroll. That's what Kyrie did. Kyrie never signed anything. He committed, never sent in a letter of intent, and he enrolled at University of Florida in the fall when it was time for him to go to school. And that's a bag.
Yep, definitely.
So if they change coaches, bro, you're like, all right, man, I ain't never signed nothing. I can still weigh my options, which happened with Kyrie, if people remember. Georgia took our DB coach, and that's one of the reasons they took him, is because they knew Kyrie hadn't signed, and if they got Warren, they had a shot at getting Kyrie. They just didn't get him. But we had Bryce Lovett commit, 3-star offensive tackle. He plays right tackle. Let me get it. Sorry, I want to make sure I get his school and everything. I know everybody ain't super fans like us and shit and got all everything lined up. So let me get his high school and everything for y'all. Give me 1 second. Sorry about that, man. Bryce Lovett, 3-star out of Rockledge. Plays right tackle. There was some misunderstanding that we may be recruiting him at interior offensive line. Talked to some people around the program. We're recruiting him at tackle as well. Doesn't have the greatest of film. Kid 6'6", 350 pounds. The type of lineman they I like to take to be able to get a kid that big. We're not looking for the kids that's going to grow into other side. We're a downhill team. We're going to be a running team. Rob Sell, Stapleton, they want big-ass linemen. 6'6", 350. He's 16 years old. So when you're looking at his film, you know he's playing a year older than what he really is. So if he's classified at his age, I doubt he'd be a 3-star right now. So you got to keep that into consideration when looking at his film. He's a 16-year-old kid, but 6'6", 350, can move. This is what you want on offensive lineman. If this is the bottom of our offensive line board, I know we took Najee Harris. We got some more decision dates on the horizon on the I-4 in the trenches. So, you mean this is a good bottom of the class? If this is the bottom of the class, a guy that's going to be a starter for you one day and a contributor. I don't think he's just going to be some guy that's a program guy and may start as a 5-year senior. I think 2 years on campus, this kid is going to be playing and contributing as a starter for us. Good take. I know everybody got their shit. You know, don't want to take 3-stars, but I think this is the bottom of our offensive line board. I like it. And I ain't going to hide no nonsense. I think it's a good take. Film is a lot to be desired with the film. A lot of slinging around. Not the greatest of footwork, all of that. But athleticism, 16 years old. Yeah, for sure.
Man, all offensive linemen require development. My bad. They all require development. So a 3-star offensive lineman don't bother me. But when it's a 3-star corner, a wide receiver, that's where I'm like,
He had a Sam Pittman offer. So when Sam Pittman out of Arkansas offer you, then we talking. Yeah, that's another thing, too. I don't just look at the stars. I also like to pay attention to who's offering this kid and trying to get him on their campus. Arkansas, Boston College, Duke, a lot of ACC, Maryland stuff. But the Sam Pittman one was a big one for me. Sam Pittman is one of those guys. He's like the Corey Raymond of offensive line coaching. He's one of them dudes. So if he got an eye on you, for sure.
Going back to those Georgia days, man, he's definitely leading. He's carrying over there to Arkansas. So you get an Arkansas offer as an offensive lineman, man, you're in good company.
For sure. I ain't got a whole lot outside of that. News wise,
I got a couple more things. Kalen DeLoach, he recently just signed on with Rising Spear.
I seen
NIL company as an ambassador. So shout out to Kalen. Some good stuff should be coming from him in the future. We had a couple more that signed Rising Spear. I don't have them off the top of my head, but Kalen was the one that stood out the most. Oh yeah, and some primetime matchups was announced today for ABC on ESPN. The LSU game, that's going to be a 7:30 ABC matchup, and also the Florida game, that's going to be an ABC 7:30 matchup.
Y'all have a lot at night, boy.
Oh no, so we go 2-0 against the SEC. Big tailgates on deck. Real good.
Y'all gonna be scared of the night games after this year, bro. After the bloodbath we get y'all ass, and then I'm excited for the LSU shit. I'll tell you that. New Orleans, we got the whole day to get sauced up and then hang out. I know we tailgating it big up in New Orleans, man. So
I don't know if I'm making it 7:30, but I'm damn sure we'll put it to the test.
I like that it's on a Sunday, too, because you're going to get more time. You got all day Saturday to enjoy them games, and then that next Sunday is not too much going on, but just the game. So right. Yeah, that tailgate going to be live.
Yeah, that's some pretty good games on Saturday as well, because, you know, you got Utah and Florida that Saturday also.
Both of them going to be tailgates, too. We'll be tailgating in Tallahassee, too, for that Florida game, man. I'm excited, but we did tailgate that for the spring game. I've envisioned the layout. I'm like, yeah, this could be something, but we can have a movie at it. We got this spot right here in front of the stadium like this, man. So shout out to the announcement time. Do they ever change these times, or they just change the networks?
Nah, these here are locked in. Now, some games within the season, they can change depending on records and stuff like that.
Right.
But these games here, they're locked in.
Okay.
These aren't changing at all.
I think y'all win 3 games. I don't want no problems. I do a nooner. You know what I'm saying?
3 games. So we being LSU, being Florida, and being Miami, right? Those are 3.
Like, not to be trying to troll, but they put that Florida State-Florida game on Friday because they needed the signature game on Friday night on that weekend.
I mean, that Friday night they had I guess you could say it would be the signature game, but you know, typically we had an Egg Bowl that Friday night too with Mississippi State and Ole Miss. But of course, Florida State and Florida is going to definitely take the cake when it comes to that. I don't know. We're gonna see how we're gonna test it out. See how you know the Friday night Thanksgiving weekend works out. We'll see how it goes this time around.
Yeah, that's what's up. I like those that layout. I don't know if I got any more game times or anything like that on my end.
That's pretty much that has been announced so far, if I'm not mistaken.
Recruiting class updates. I do want to get on that, man. Notre Dame cooking. Like they cooking. USC also ain't doing bad. They got 3 5-stars. I like where they class at right now and the way they recruiting out there with their new regime. But bro, Freeman doing what he got to do in Notre Dame, bro.
How's looking, man? Freeman gonna be done real early with recruiting class. Just his job is gonna be hold on to those guys. He got a real solid recruiting class cooking up there. Man, those kids, man, they're relating to Freeman. They're relating to him.
Yeah, they put a cool ass brother in the head job seat at Notre Dame. Brian Kelly was an awkward fit there. So if he could recruit decent at Notre Dame, I knew Marcus Freeman was going to knock this shit out of the park. It's just going to be if he could coach and what kind of hires he made. But right now, that shit looking like a well-oiled machine, man. He doing what he want to do on the trail.
Yeah, right now he's doing everything. He's doing everything the right way for sure. Games got to be played, man. But, you know, Brian Kelly didn't leave a bad roster as it is. And a lot of those kids, you know, they rock with Freeman in the first place. They were really happy with that hire. So I think it's going to be a smooth transition as far as, you know, going from Brian Kelly to Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, I think he's going to clean up them Catholic schools in the Northeast and on the West Coast. Like they're going to get whoever they want out of those groups moving.
They're going to master their lane, like because right. Certain kids they got to get and they're going to master that really smart kid, that really smart athletic kid that they got to fight Stanford for maybe. Some of them they be battling for. They getting some kids right now. We'll see how it all play out. I think. Your man, IG Hall, he's out at Texas.
Yeah, so they came back and clarified the report. Someone stated, well, I saw the 247 report. He was never actually enrolled in Texas. The only thing is he's finishing up some classes at Bama in order to be good to go at Texas. So that's why his name was on the roster because it was never on the roster. Someone jumped the gun and said his name was removed from the roster. No, that wasn't the case. It never was on the roster due to the fact that he got some stuff he got to take care of at Bama before he could actually get to Texas. And that shit threw me for a loop because I thought, like, damn, you know, you had your situation at Bama and then, you know.
Already, yeah, that was a flag.
That was a big red flag. So if that was the case, man, it would have been – the options would have been few and slim. And then whatever option it did land on, that would probably been the last ride. But got some clarification on that. He never actually made it to Texas just yet. You got to clean up some stuff on his end in order to enroll.
Y'all had some misses on in the transfer portal this week, didn't y'all, Ma?
Oh yeah, Robinson, the receiver that was at UCF. He to me it was like we went for him, we missed. I don't feel that he was a guy that was gonna make or break the room, but definitely we didn't get him. But I think Lane went ahead and got him. But yeah, but we missed on him. But I feel like there's enough in the room that can still develop. And I don't think he was just coming in and just was going to take a spot. I don't think he was that guy, you know, like when we're on 26 degrees, me was like, well, he could have came for 2 years. Like, I don't want a 3-year receiver to come in for two. I want him to, if you're going to be a 3-year receiver and you're going to transfer, I need you to be the top dog in that room and lead it, not just be another guy in the room. So we lost him, but I think in the grand scheme, we'll be all right. But he did sign with Ole Miss.
Okay, yeah, Papa Rua's gotta get that bread together, bro. That shit ain't hitting like y'all ain't rich. All that rich shit slowing down a little bit, Ma. Y'all was loud, but y'all came back to earth a little bit.
Try not to blow the wad early, you know. You don't wanna.
Yeah.
Right, but no, that's pretty much all I got from the FSU point of view, though, man. As far as Big Three talk,
no doubt, man. I'm trying to wait. I mean, we can wait on. We got Leon, or I don't know if his phone's still dead or what, man. But I want to finish this conversation. Tyree Patterson is the receiver that I was talking about. That's the bottom of our class right now at the wide receiver board. I would like it to be Whitmore. I don't like that take right now. I keep going. I watched his spring game, him work out. I'm just not feeling that take. I don't think he's an untalented kid. I just think UCF, Maryland, North Carolina State, that's the type of program offers that should be taking him right now. I don't think that should be the bottom of our wide receiver board considering what the state is and the type of talent that's in it.
Shoot, while we wait on Leon, man, we can jump into get this prize piece ad off. We can talk some Eastern Conference, Western Conference Finals. All right, prize picks. Prize picks is the easy way to play daily fantasy. It's daily fantasy simplified. It's just you versus projected numbers. You can choose from yards, touchdowns, fantasy points, and much more. You can also pick from football, M&A, boxing, and soccer. Download Prize Picks right now, and they'll match your deposit 100% of the $100. Again, if you go and download Prize Picks right now, they'll match your deposit 100% up to $100. Use promo code ROLLUP, Prize Picks. And this is a good time to use it, man. We got the Eastern Conference Final starting tonight, Western Conference Final starting tomorrow, man. Who you guys got?
I got Boston and I got Golden State, bro.
I'm a Miami fan, so I got Miami and I got Golden State. I got Heat and six, and I got Warriors and six.
Heat six, Warriors and six. I seen the conversation of Luka
that's bullshit. Yeah, I think it was talking about who would rather take the last shot that had the ball at the last minute. Steph Luka, like, situation. Come on, bro. Right, man.
Yeah, so Stephen A. and J.J. Redick had a conversation on ESPN speaking about who would you rather have in a clutch situation, Steph Curry or Luka. What's your take? I don't know how anybody can say anybody but Steph right now in the NBA.
Right, and I think J.J. is kind of being emotional right now, kind of being stuck in the moment because Luka's playing great, man, but Steph has done this shit. Like, he's made numerous game-winning shots. Numerous of game-winning layups, whatever, game-winning passes. And even in case Steph he draws so much attention. As soon as you cross half court, you got to respect it, right?
Yeah, you can shoot that bitch from there, like when he walks in the gym.
Exactly. Yeah. He draws so much attention, man. So I'm not taking anyone over. Well, I'm not going to say anyone, but out of Luka and Steph, it's a no-brainer, man. Steph has done it, been there, and did that, man. Luka hasn't done it just yet. He's in the process of doing it, but, man, I got to see more for me to – take him over Steph within the clutch situation right now.
Yeah, like, I want Steph late, but I understand what he was trying to say. Just because Luka, you gotta, if you down three, I want Steph. If you down two, and I got to worry about Luka taking you to the post, I could see that. But at the end of the day, I'm gonna trust Steph because he tried and true. And right. You gotta guard him all over the court.
I'm right. Not even nervous giving that bitch to Steph. I'm thinking it's going in. Like, I'm gonna be shocked if he miss. Time. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be like, oh shit, he missed. I ain't thinking he gonna miss that bitch. So. Yeah, I like what Boston looked. I haven't been deep. I'm gonna be honest. I hate Miami. Everything about like Miami sports, so I'm a little biased. But I do like the way Boston playing basketball. They got a nice nucleus the last 3 years.
Yeah, I like Boston, but they're hurt tonight, man. I think Marcus Smart is out and Al Horford, they're out tonight due to some injuries. Right. But this game won, so we'll see how that play out. But I think I agree. I like Boston, man. I'm a Lakers fan, so you know I hate Boston in the grand scheme, right. But. It's just the length on defense. They're real long on defense. And then when you do the length on defense, those same guys who have great defense, they get any type of shot they want to an offense too. So that's the good thing about Boston is they're just so well-rounded in what they do. Long, athletic guys that can just get their shot off. And Jason Tatum, man, that motherfucker, I think he gonna be he the next coming, man. Jason Tatum is that damn good. His offensive game is beautiful. But Eric Spoelstra is probably I guess it's a debate as far as him being the best coach in the game or not. He's definitely top two in my opinion with him and Steve Kerr. Those are the top two coaches in the league in my opinion currently. But Spoelstra just does a great job with those guys and getting things done. And you know, Miami plays defense too. You got Bam, you got Jimmy, you got those guys, man. So it's gonna be an interesting series to say the least. And I think Miami put those, Ma, you could probably correct me if I'm wrong. Y'all put those guys out the last couple of years, right?
We put them out 2 years ago in the bubble in the conference finals. We beat them in six there. And we lost the first two games during the season. But in March, there was a game that whoever won that game would be the one seed in the East, and we beat them by six in Boston. And I think we match up very well against them. And Boston, they're good. One thing I'll say, though, they've caught a lot of breaks so far. You know, they got the Bucks without Middleton. They got the Nets without, you know, a Simmons playing. So Boston's had some breaks. But only thing I'll say about Boston is, man, this is like their core, that three, Smart, Tatum, and Brown. This is like their sixth year. They've been around for a while since them LeBron Cleveland years. So, you know, they got an interesting core, but I think Miami matches up well. And I think this is, if Miami's ever going to win a title, and this is the year to do it. So,
yeah, within that team. Yeah, they've been around a while. And I think it's just they were young, getting beat up by Braun and those guys, and now they feel like it's their time and they arrived. And then you bring in a vet like Horford. I think Horford's probably being one of the biggest keys to this playoff run. It's just the defense he's been doing, the rebounding, and just, you know, that whole playoff tenacity, man. So shout out to Al Horford and what he's been doing. I felt like he was washed up, but he's been playing good ball for the Celtics as of late.
I think it's just going to come down to who role players play better between Miami, the Struce or like Grant Williams. Who, yeah. Like those matchups are going to decide the game.
So nobody choosing Dallas.
No, hell no. I got the Warriors, man. The Warriors is too good. And it was a stat a while ago, the beginning of the playoffs, when Draymond, Steph, and Klay have played every game within the series, they've never lost. So I'm gonna go with that as far as a better man. I think the Warriors are going to do the same thing, going to play Luka the same way they played the Joker, and pretty much just hone in on him and let him do everything as far as beating the team. When you look at that series against the Nuggets, they wore out the Joker. He was just spent. He really had nothing left. So I feel like they're going to take that same approach with Luka. Let him get his and make it really hard on him, but nobody else is going to beat us. He's going to have to get his and be the only one that can get off. And that'll pay off with the Warriors because they just got too many guys that could get points at any given time.
No doubt. I'm still waiting on Leon Orr a little bit, man. We're going to hang out and vibe a little bit, man. What's up? Maul, do you watch P-Valley?
P-Valley, no. I haven't had a chance to watch that. And, right. Yeah, unfortunately, no.
No, you got to check it out. That's a good show, man. It's coming out again, too, man. In June, and I want to say.
I got to find time to watch it, man. I got these kids.
I'm with you on that, man. I'm catching up on TV as well. I don't have a whole lot of time, but I did peep just watching the socials that season two was coming back. So I'm about to get back into season one. I have started, and I'm going to be honest, I'm on episode two of season one of The Wire.
Who say The Wire? So
that's where I'm at with it, man. I'm on episode two. It's a slow start, dog.
How great the damn show is. Just let it ride. Let it ride. Trust me.
Yeah, I'm going to let it ride. Pause. I'm going to let it ride. Yeah. It's a slow start. And I've gotten to this point. Every time it's like, man, cut this shit off, man. I already know about it happening. About to sell drugs. But I'm going to finish it, man. I just want to really get into it, man. It's a cultural.
You got to know what all these memes mean.
Culture cult.
It's you got to know what these memes.
Right, exactly. That's another thing, too. The more you watch the show, you'll see all the memes you see on Twitter. It's like, damn, that's where that came from.
Right. But yeah, I think Uncle Clifford would be throwing a lot of people off for watching P-Valley, and that threw me off at first as well. Like, man, this kind of weird, bro. That's why I stopped watching Game of Thrones, because of this type of weird shit. But P-Valley, if you could get past that, man, just great storylines, beautiful women. It's just the weirdness of, you know, if you're not comfortable.
And it also embodies the culture of the ship, too. It also embodies the culture of the ship in Mississippi.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Script club culture, man, they got that shit down to T. Whoever wrote this damn show hung out in script club.
Yeah, they was in the trenches life, for sure.
For sure.
They was definitely in the trenches.
All right, well, I'm going to give it a watch. I'll give it a watch.
Give it a watch, man. Make sure the kids are put away. Don't just throw that thing on. It's not a family show at all.
Right, definitely.
That's all I got cooking, like TV-wise. Wire, P-Valley. Catching back up. Get myself reacquainted with like what was going on towards the end. Mercedes Last Dance and all that shit.
Shout out to Mercedes.
I'm gonna watch tonight. I'm gonna catch up on the Lakers finale.
It was dope.
I didn't realize it was a season finale.
HBO, they ain't going more than 10 per season at all. So once you get to that threshold, and just seeing how it played out, you beginning of the season, you got the finals, the championship, you kind of knew how it was gonna play out, man. But it was dope how they just showed everything that really happened within that, man. You got Mo Cheeks. They showing Mo Cheeks in the game. You got, of course, Dr. J, Chocolate Thunder, Daryl Dawkins. Yeah, Chocolate Thunder. It's just real dope, man. Just to see those cameos and just how they tell the story. And then Kareem talking to Magic prior to the game. Because, you know, Kareem didn't play. I'm not giving too much away, but this is it's coming now. Kareem didn't play in game 6 of that finals. And Magic had to start at center. Magic, you know, dropping like 40 points, 15 rebounds or something like that. And the show shows the conversation where Kareem's having with Magic saying, hey, you know, Ricky, this is your team, you know, lead these guys, so to speak. And to see that conversation and see what really happened within the true story of him. And it's real dope as far as the storytelling of Winning Time, man. Probably one of my favorite shows within 2022.
Yeah, like I walked in that show with no expectation, man. But the acting's been really good, man. Like Wood Harris, he deserves something.
But Wood killed that role, man. Yeah, Wood's killing that role. And Wood deserves flowers in general, man. He's one of the
GOATs. He hasn't gotten them yet. So that's why I hope he can get them.
Man, man.
Wood is one of our GOATs within our generation. So if you're getting started within the wire, he has a big presence within the wire. Man. Shout out to Wood, man.
Avon Wood Harrison went from like a lot of my favorite movies, man. He didn't join with Denzel, the football movie. Remember the Titans. Paid in Full was one of my favorite movie, top five, dog. Like movies that I just repeat. Above the Rim. Like Wood Harris is an absolute legend out here, bro. Culture icon for sure.
Most definitely. 100%, man.
All right, man, we're going to wrap up with Leon Orr, man. He has some technical issues, phone issues, man. The conversation was just getting good, just like the Cromartie, man. We got to get these boys to have charged up phones and ready for the interview, man.
Bro, we got to get these boys a disclaimer before we even send the link. Like, listen, man, be in a good setting, have your phone charged. Let's get to work.
Right, right. But overall, good show, man. Maul, appreciate you for hanging out with us, dog. Larry wasn't here to lie. We got a pretty much straightforward effort from you, bro. That ain't normal.
I'm a little different than the rest of the fan base, man. That's all I can say.
No doubt. You brought the kid dynamic to the show, though. I appreciate that, man.
All right, we got to keep it going.
Already. Do we have a song? We'll attach a song to the end of it, man. It's the Roll Up. Appreciate y'all for hanging out with us. We'll be back Friday, regular crew. We'll have the rest of the interview from Leon Orr. I got some stories to tell about, you know, the way he quit the team, the way he left the program, his pro career, and also some music, man. We'll get into some shenanigans. Appreciate y'all for fucking with the Roll Up, man. We out of here. But we got a special guest hanging out with us, coming to hang out from the Will Muschamp era. We got Leon Orr coming to hang out with us. There you go.
What you were saying, that's crazy, man, because – especially waking up thinking you finna go do some groceries and, you know what I'm saying, prepare for your dinner for your family, then lose your life. Like, there's no excuse for that.
It's a wild situation, man. You know, you just
I keep my concealed carry. When I go in Walmart, I have my phone, because you never know when somebody gonna try to take your life.
Especially one of the guys that got killed, man. He was going to Costco to buy a birthday cake for his son's birthday party, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. I ain't gonna lie to you. They don't have no. Oh no, I ain't trying to be on no black white thing, but I feel like when they look at us like we lions. So they know they can't just come in there with no knife and just get off on us. So that's why they come so strong how they do the duties, little whatever they call themselves, hate crimes and stuff.
Yeah, it's always spots that like it ain't never on no gangster shit. Yeah. It's always churches.
Yeah, they pulling up on 50-year-old women and shit like that. Nigga, hit LA Fitness with that pressure type shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like it's never like that. They pick and choose. They try to go.
LA Fitness, they can't be in there with weights.
Boy, get hit with a caddy, he gonna be mad.
That dog coming in with five, man. Hey, Leon Orr, former defensive tackle, played during the Muschamp era, man. One of my guys, just social media wise, personality wise, I love your stay on campus. A very interesting guy to follow. Leon, what you got going on these days, man? You say you're kicking it on the block. I know you're making music. We're gonna get to your recruiting and all that, your playing days. But what you doing right now? You vibing? I know I've been listening to your music a little bit.
Yeah, man, I've been back home doing music. My rookie year, I had bought a house back in Pasco, so I came back home after my rookie year. And I think it was my third year. I had got into a little bit of trouble with some weed, so I ended up being back home because I had to do like 2 years of probation. Got the charges dropped, all of this bull crap they put me through, you know what I'm saying, over basically a wax pen. I ain't even had no weed on me. I had a wax pen in my back of my car from when I was playing with the Oakland Raiders for 2 years. You know, it's recreational out there.
Right, right, right.
So I had some shit in my bag or whatever. I'm going down to my new house I bought in Miami. I was playing for the Dolphins. They pulled me over talking about my tent was too dark. So, you know, me out of first reaction, I'm like, shit, you can search. Ain't nothing in here. Da, 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 da. So they go in my trunk, pull out all my bags. They going doing all this excessive searching. They find a wax pen. They charge me with felony controlled substance possession for a wax pen, which is like those little, you know, the wax pens.
Yeah, that shit. They treat it as
a real felony.
Controlled substance back then, for sure.
So I'm going to court. I'm doing all this stuff with real like crackheads, real like pill heads, all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm in here for a wax pen that I ain't used in 6 months. So it was just like a bunch of shit. It slowed me down a little bit. But like I say, since then, I just been back on focus on the music because music was like one of my first passions. So right,
We're going to circle back to that. Let's go back to the recruiting days, man. You came into a Will Muschamp recruiting class that was...
Urban Meyer
recruiting class. And defensive tackle board at that time was insane. Had guys like Dominique Easley, Sharif Floyd. You came to play. You decided to come play with these guys. And your recruitment took off towards the end. I think you were three-star, and then towards the end, a lot of interest picked up with you at SEC, and you had some different type of offers. Then Florida came into the picture as well. Elaborate. Tell us a little bit about your recruiting and what made you decide University of Florida.
I feel like I knew I was going to be a Florida guy. I didn't want to leave my home state. And it was just the recruiting was kind of up and down for me because I was a tight end. So this whole time I'm going to camps as a tight end. But when I get there, they're like, oh, line up, play three technique, or oh, line up at left tackle. But I was killing it. So they like, damn, we don't even got this guy on our recruiting board for these positions. You know what I'm saying? And he's out here going against top defensive tackles, top, you know what I'm saying, defensive linemen. And I think that's what really put me on the map just for a lot of recruiting after my sophomore year. Because I was going to the down and dirty camps. I was doing all of this stuff because I felt like at the time I wasn't really like a true lineman. I was still like a skill guy who just had a big body because I was so used to playing tight end, fullback, all of this stuff. And after my sophomore year, I went and did the Friday Night Lights camp, which usually they only reserve for seniors and juniors. I went as a sophomore and just started snapping on everybody. And after that, my recruiting just went through the roof. I'm getting calls from Les Miles, all these guys, you know. So I feel like back then when we was recruiting, a lot of those scholarships came out.
It's a little loud.
It's loud. Yeah. Some more. They really all the way back over there.
You know, I go in the trenches, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Nah, for sure. We be over here talking about football and shit because all of us
was highly high school. So I know y'all getting it.
Yeah, a lot of my cousins was, you know what I'm saying, highly recruited in high school, just, you know, street shit. But, yeah, I was raised by my grandma a lot, so she was always, you know, old school, get your grades, all that type of stuff. So I was raised by one of them parents, like, I had to really focus on school. So in order for me to hang around my friends, I put the extra effort into knocking out my schoolwork just so I could go hang, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's what separated me from being able to go to college and do all this stuff because I was really still into school a lot. But
you know, a lot of people don't really – you just spoke about you having cousins and this, that, and another who was highly recruited but ended with the street stuff. And then you spoke about your grandma saying, hey, you got to take care of your grades. You got to do this. You got to do that. A lot of people – that's really the gap between a lot of athletes is that strong head within the home to kind of steer you on the right track and say, nah, you're going to do this and you're going to do it that way in order to get to the end goal, which is, you know, a free scholarship to, you know, for you, University of Florida.
Facts. I mean, I definitely feel like really in anything you do, if you don't got that guidance at home, it's going to be harder for you to get to your goal. And I feel like at that point, I hadn't even made up my decision to go play football or do any of those things. My grandma was just always on my butt about, you got to be smart. You got to, you know what I'm saying, be in position to take advantage of those opportunities that you get when they do come because you never know when they're going to come. So my grandma always used to preach that. So when I was in school, I'd be like, man, if I want to go hang out with my cousins, I want to go to the teen club, all that stuff, I'm finna knock out my homework real quick. So it was just one of those things. I feel like if you want to complete any goal in life, you got to have some type of guidance, somebody who not been there and done it, but at least been through life to give you some type of way to steer through this. But life crazy right now.
Yeah, life always crazy, bro.
Facts. Go ahead.
So, Leon, you said that you went and dominated Friday Night Lights as a sophomore. Your recruitment took off after that. After that camp, who all started showing interest in you?
I mean, after that camp, I had an offer from every ACC division school and every SEC division school just off of 1 week of work. It was so crazy when I went into my locker room. I had a locker on the side that was just filled with just like scholarship offers and recruitment letters and stuff. Because a lot of these guys didn't know if I was going to be able to go D1, like with my grades, all that stuff. So it got to the point where a team would come visit my school, and they're like, "Oh yeah, he's a nerd. Like he got 3.0. He already You feel what I'm saying? I went to IB school, so we didn't have PE and none of that stuff like that. So they looking at me, this big guy, you know what I'm saying? I got dreads, I'm this burly guy, and then they come figure out, oh, now this guy's really like a nerd. I read books, I'm on chess club, all of this type of stuff. So I always used to like, damn, they like, here it is, and then like scholarships come out of nowhere. Damn. Because that summer I went to the Friday Night Lights camp, I took my ACT. So I was already eligible to go D1 after my sophomore year. So that's when it really just started going crazy. It's when it brings me to Brown, you know.
What's it like? What's an Urban Meyer recruitment like?
I mean, players get paid now, so I guess I ain't got to lie. Hey, them coaches know not to come with us unless they come with that bag every time, because at the end of the day, the coach not offering that, but you know they got guys come through you, and you gonna be good. We gonna take care of you. Da, 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 da. They come have dinner with you. You feel me? Leave your band. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was different then. You couldn't wait to get a visit from a coach. You know you gonna make you at least $1,500 or something, especially once you become that guy. So I think recruiting was a money game. That's all it really was, because a lot of us went to these schools and probably shouldn't even went there, in all opinion, all honest opinion, but we was caught up on the flash. You know what I'm saying? You go on your visit, they throw some little coochie on you. You like, oh, yeah, I want to go here. Like, it was just way different, because Gainesville got some beautiful women. They got some rich white people. You know what I'm saying? The atmosphere is just definitely different. So you could get caught up in everything but football when you recruiting at Florida.
Hey, that's real, man. So and you kind of touched on something that a lot of people, I guess a lot of athletes, you know, thinking the back of their mind that when it's all said and done, that you kind of get caught in the glitz and the glamour of the situation, not really the best school for you. So I'm assuming that Urban them dropped off the biggest NIL package for you, right?
I don't think I got the biggest package. I think like not those guys you. Who you mentioned, you those guys,
out of your offers. I know easily them shit probably was stupid, but you talking about like out of your offers, who was offering you the
Dodge
most
Chargers with the suicide those all this shit.
Oh, you went out. We got to bring it back, man. Let me don't worry about it.
Hey, Randy, I got this. Appreciate it, nigga. Appreciate it. If I tell you we keep it moving, then you better believe it. CB Riders, we on the road just like a paraplegia. Had the right to be conceited, bro. I'm never defeated. Showed the host a gun grip my heart like it's the Pledge of Allegiance. Planet shaking when we walk, because every step is gigantic. Thought process different than yours, it's just a better dynamic. Twin Glocks, one black, one white, I call them Michael and Janet. Me and my brother both kings, just like Robin and Stannis. Hammerthorns, I'm all alone, I'm in a league of my own. Hard bars is bullet shape, they penetrating your dome. He's fast, play man to man, I'm with a bitch in the zone. Hit them pocket checking niggas like I'm missing my phone. How the fuck you sneak the AR in? Ain't no way y'all win. Sharp bars could fillet y'all skin. You never make it to heaven with the way y'all sin. But my niggas up at the green just like a radar pin. I won't stop it till my face on the screen. A 40 lace with the beam. If I get mad, I'm Freddy facing your dreams. Government, I own people, CP3 the regime. Niggas all set in place, ain't no replacing my team. Yo, my card is legendary, style a thing of the past. Every track I'm on is murder, OJ gloves and a mask. At the first sign of trouble, I just cock it and blast. Lyrical mercenary, killing beats for the cash. OG, triple homie, ran with heart in the street. Came through, made an impression like we stomping with cleats. Got that slap your mama status, we them niggas to beat. Superman taking Viagra, can't come harder than me. I put a quarter in the blunt, I like the blaze, we ain't rolling pennies. Rapid fire on the revolver, look like a fidget spinner. Stroke ain't vicious, she a witness when the dick get in her. Fill my bitch with ice, cause that's the closest she gon' get to winning. Shit, help me up, I'ma need another hour. Stay with the heat like I'ma need another shower. Eyes like the devil, I've been smoking on that sour. Put me for a murder if a nigga sell me flour. Hustling a gentleman, honey smelling like cinnamon. She's like it's them again, and she handle balls like it's Wimbledon. Ain't whispering, that's for anybody that's listening. Your man a simpleton, here's my digits when you get sick of him.
I got a streaming, yeah, like she mumble rapping. Hands in the air, like the thunder clapping. Always keep a bag like I'm always packing. And you niggas stay sleep, why you always napping? Cause a nigga like me gotta stay woke. And I can see why certain niggas stay broke. Chopper never ride the pine cause it stay oak. Him out versus selling drugs cause they stay dope. When I kick the style of Joe, dog, you better listen. You will never get better without repetition. Kneel down for the anthem, see the message missing. Cops killing us blacks, ain't on your television. Walk the right path, exit stay right. Cause the white man had stage fright. So I touch down, fuck a field goal. Kick the air down with a steel toe. If united we stand, divided we nothing. Me and my niggas stick together, that gotta be something. Play the cards you was dealt, you gotta be bluffing. You drive turkeys cuffing, she gotta be stuffing. Never fill your eggs,